OgreCave.com. Tabletop gaming industry news updates with Alan Sugarbaker.
Here's an interview we recorded at DundraCon 35, held this February 18th to 21st in San Ramon, California.
This is Alan Sugarbaker with OgreCave.com, and I'm talking with Darren Watts, as I like to do every year.
Absolutely,
at DundraCon.
It's a tradition.
It's a tradition. We're here at DundraCon 35, and Darren, you're with both Hero Games and now IPR as well.
Yes.
Indie Press Revolution. Which do you want to address first? You want to just go with Hero? Since
let's go with Hero, because we always
baby.
Do that one, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. There's at least one new book here at the show.
Yes, the Hero Systems 6th Edition Equipment Guide. Which is, you know, all of the gear from whatever genre that you're playing using the Hero System for. So it's everything from, you know, your fantasy barding for your horse all the way up to your mechas and your, you know, starships and that sort of thing.
Wow.
You know, all set up for cross-genre work.
Yeah, that's a lot of ground to cover.
It is. Well, it's a nice, big, hefty book, so.
Yeah, it's pretty big.
Yeah, that's brand new here for the show. And then we also have the second volume of our Villains trilogy. Is newly available. That's the Villains 2 is actually Villains Teams for the set for the Champions universe. Villains 3 is working its way through the print process right now, and that's solo villains.
Okay.
One was Master Villains, obviously. So
those are
both very close to new.
Okay. How's the reception been at the show this year? To me, it seems a little slow, but there's still a core contingent of all the Hero fans.
Absolutely.
Crawling the halls.
The show, I think, it has been slow today, and I think we might be victims of, like, what nice weather it is outside all of a sudden a week of rain.
It was cold.
But yesterday's sales were great, so, you know, we'll see how it all winds up at the end.
Yeah. So. But you've got your same core Hero fans here that I see every year, and you've got your party tonight.
Absolutely.
Birthday slash Hero
My
thing.
Fourth annual 39th birthday party.
Happy 39th.
Thank you.
And what else is going on? You're doing, you're president of IPR right now.
Yes, I have been since last summer.
I don't mean to say like it's going to stop imminently.
Right, yeah, no. It's still relatively
until
new.
Until the coup,
right.
You haven't heard about yet.
No, it's been about 8 months so far that I've been wearing both hats. IPR doesn't have a booth of its own here at DundraCon, only because Endgame has long been one of our greatest retail partners.
Right,
and they
okay.
have, you know...
Yeah,
we try not to compete with the people who have been so good to us, you know, to this point. So
right, and they have a pretty sizable display.
They have
display.
A very thorough stock of IPR products. If you get over to their booth, so we've been hand selling kind of for them, you know, at the seminars and that sort of thing,
mm-hmm.
And then sending people back to the Endgame booth to, you know, to buy the products. So Ken and I have already done 2 indie game seminars here at the show, and we're pretty well received, I think. So.
Okay, so you and Ken Height talked quite a bit about IPR-related products and what's hot and what's new at one of your seminars.
Absolutely, yeah. We every year we do, Ken and I have done for years before I was involved with IPR,
mm-hmm.
we would do a seminar at DundraCon called What's Cool,
mm-hmm.
where we would just sit down and since the last DundraCon, here are like some really neat products that impressed us.
Right.
We're not allowed to talk about anything that we worked on, though we always kind of like managed to throw in a dig for each other's.
Right.
You know, it's like I'll talk about one of Ken's books and.
Yes, now it's become harder to avoid that.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So now that I'm with IPR, obviously that's I'm even more intimately familiar with a wide range of really cool new products you might not have heard of. So
right.
That seminar has become increasingly IPR and indie in general heavy. Because of all the cool new things that I get to see that cross my desk at IPR of like great stuff that small publishers are working on.
They give you extra time for the seminar or anything?
They should, but they don't. No, unfortunately.
Well, what were the new hot things you think this year?
Absolutely the number one, I think, game product of any sort, indie or otherwise, in my opinion, that came out in the last year since we did this, is Fiasco,
mm-hmm.
By Jason Morningstar for Bully Pulpit Games.
Mm-hmm.
It is, it's, the tagline for it is, it's the role-playing game of poor impulse control. It is,
and huge ambition or something.
Right, yeah, yes. Grand ambitions and poor
yes.
impulse control.
Yeah, I've played Fiasco. Fiasco is a really great one. Got a lot of attention after Will Wheaton mentioned it at PAX.
Absolutely, right. I honestly think, you know, it should sweep all of the awards, you know, that it's open for, you know, already has gotten a few, but more will be coming its way.
Yes.
It's a brilliant, brilliant piece of design. The playset mechanic, I think, is breathtakingly simple, and yet gives you so much freedom, you know, to create a self-contained story that is almost guaranteed to be a disaster.
Oh yeah, that's
for pretty much everybody involved, and it's so wonderfully dark and bleak and nasty that it's just a joy to work with.
Your Coen Brothers movie,
right?
Done by you.
Right, exactly. It's the role-playing game to play Blood Simple with. It's the role-playing game to play Fargo with.
Yes.
It's, you know, every wonderful, like, scam goes horribly wrong and Steve Buscemi dies in an awful way movie out there, basically. Fiasco is designed to play those games, and it's a beautiful thing to see.
My players don't realize it yet. They're too staunchly entrenched in playing just D&D. So I try to break them out of that once in a while. I used John Wick's Shotgun Diaries, set in the same world,
sure.
And did a zombie thing, but with fantasy draped over it, so that they went along with it just fine and really loved it. Now I'm going to do that with Fiasco.
Okay.
In the same setting, but, you know, these are the rules we're using this
week. There are a few fantasy playsets.
There is one, yeah. I saw at least one, so I'm going to adapt that, and they're going to, you know, have a Fargo experience with fantasy characters.
Excellent.
It'll be interesting.
We were joshing around today, just Ken and I shooting the breeze in the con room, and we're kind of like idly working out the details of a Blake 7 fiasco.
Oh, nice.
You know, we were talking about like TV series that had ended, you know, with like everybody dead, you know, like that just wiped everything out, you know, or some horrifying final fate for the ongoing characters. Whether it's something as like disastrously violent as Blake 7 or Angel or something like that, or something like Seinfeld, you know, where the characters, you know, no hideous violence happens to them, but they are in fact revealed for the monsters that they are and, you know, sent away to prison for the rest of their lives.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler. Oh, too late. Oh,
well,
no,
sorry. Too bad. Right. So that was just setting us off on like the kind of TV shows that should be fiasco-ized, basically, for playsets.
Yeah, that sounds good. I can't see doing Seinfeld. But anyway.
Well, you know.
It'd be a very strange playset.
What else did we talk about as really great indie? Blowback by Elizabeth Shoemaker.
I know about it, but yeah, I haven't seen it.
It's with the serial numbers filed off, it's basically Burn Notice the RPG. In this game, you play a spy who has, for whatever reason, been cut off by your agency.
Right.
Something terrible has happened. You may or may not have actually done something. You may have just been framed for something. Whatever it is, your spy agency has disowned you, and you are kind of, you know, cut off out in the world trying to straighten out whatever problem that was that has led to the situation. And, you know, not only are you trying to solve that sort of fairly exotic problem in your life, but the game forces you to invest time and energy in your mundane world relationships at the same time. You are responsible not only for creating your spy, but for the mundane people whose lives intersect with your spy. So, you know, any good pairing of, like, of Burn Notice characters or whatever would both be played by the same player.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you play, what's his name, Sam, but also Sam's mom. You know, would be run by the same character.
Oh, interesting.
And their interrelationships
and the
stresses on their relationships would be, you know, are connected through the mechanics of the game. It's marvelously well done. Elizabeth is a brilliant, brilliant game designer. So, what else we talked about for it? We kind of had the discussion of sort of the mainstreamization of some fairly core indie narrativist concepts that has gone on in the last year or so, most notably the success of Dresden Files.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, Dresden Files was, I believe, what, fourth or fifth best-selling RPG of the year, you know, for 2010.
If that doesn't garner some awards, then people have not been paying attention.
Once again, great game, but, you know, clearly has had the kind of success that indie products don't frequently see.
Right.
While remaining, you know, pretty much as indie as you can get. And then also games like Margaret Weiss Productions' versions of Smallville and Leverage.
Leverage is one that I plan to check out.
Contain very, you know, kind of like core narrativist ideas kind of hidden underneath, you know, like fabulous production values and a big name license and that sort of thing. But the games at their core, thanks to work by people like Josh Robey and Cam Banks and, you know, the people who worked on these games, that are really some pretty serious, you know, story games concepts of kind of making their way out to a larger public through games like this.
Yeah.
You know, that somebody had said that Smallville is, in fact, you know, a really hardcore indie game soaked in so much ketchup that you don't know what it is you're eating.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's really good for you, actually, you know.
It requires all of this theming and high production value to get people over their fear of... Wait,
right,
we're doing what now?
Of a fairly cutting edge and interesting mechanic that's
right.
quite different from the bog standard D&D, Pathfinder, whatever,
yeah.
you know.
It's got a popular license, it's very pretty,
right, exactly.
you know, full color. And
it's introduced an awful lot of new
people.
Come
on in, we won't hurt you too much.
Exactly, it's introduced an awful lot of new people to some core concepts of story games that have never... You know, we've never been able to reach any other way.
Yeah.
You know, we've never—it's a brand new way of bringing these people on board, and I think it's wonderful. You know, I think both games are really excellent. Leverage, actually, to me, is kind of—it's the anti-fiasco. You know, there's
right.
pretty much no way in Leverage that you can have an unhappy ending. The game mechanics pretty much support you the entire way. Every Leverage episode is basically the same story over and over again. And it's just kind of like how it's presented.
Right.
So the book includes at the end a how to design a scenario, you know, set of rules and advice that is really basically like Mad Libs. You know, it's like here is the bad guys, you know, the scam that the bad guys are running. You know, fill in this blank. Here is what the people who are being scammed are actually, you know, looking for that makes them vulnerable to the scam. Here is the twist that happens about 35 minutes into the episode that, like, turns everything upside down. And all you have to do is kind of, like, fill in these blanks like it was a fiasco playset sort of thing.
Right, and then improvise
and then you've got the
story.
Here's the episode
that
you're going to play out.
Yeah.
It's so formulaic that it kind of, like, comes out the other side and becomes a really interesting piece of, you know, scenario design. Of, you know, like how many changes can we ring on
right.
this really, you know, like every Law and Order episode or whatever is, you know, basically the same thing over and over again.
More or less,
and yet
yeah.
they're still fascinating to watch. You know,
yeah.
you still do get sucked into to what's going on. Ken Heitz was saying that Leverage is, you know, while Fiasco is genuinely dangerous, you know, in what it's doing, playing Leverage is like riding on a really exciting roller coaster that has unbelievable safety standards. you know you can't really get hurt doing this, you know.
Right.
It's like the heroes will always win in the end. What's interesting is how they do it and the ups and downs they go through to get there.
Yes.
You know, and the game supports
that
idea.
The ride is still fun even though you know where the
ending
is going
to be.
Even
though you know you're not actually going to plunge off the side of this roller coaster, it's still fun
yes.
to be on the roller coaster. And Leverage, you know, carries that idea when it's doing it, I think, really well and makes it a worthwhile experience. While, like I said, being pretty hardcore indie at its core, so.
Well, I definitely plan to check out Leverage. Having played Fiasco and thought, you know, that session we just played out, I would watch that if that was a movie.
Totally, absolutely.
Let's give Darren a chance to drink, because this is how he sounds like every day.
Exactly. My sexy Valerie Breen voice.
Yes.
It's Sunday afternoon. I've lost my voice already.
You've still got the party tonight and everything, so I won't keep you too much longer. Is
Not
there anything
a
else you want to talk about and mention for folks to check out this year?
No, I think that about covers me.
All right. Okay. Darren Watts from Hero Games and IPR. Thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to drop by OgreCave.com for game news, interviews, reviews, and more, and become a fan of Ogre Cave on our Facebook page, where you can browse our DungeonCon 35 photo gallery and lots more.
That's the news this time. Come by OgreCave.com for the complete Ogre Cave audio report and plenty more news.
The Ogre Cave audio report's been missing in action for a while now. OgreCave.com.
Okay, you guys, a little more off that side. A little more.
We're doing our best to get it put back together and in shape for listening.
OgreCave.com.
No, that's all wrong. Back the other way.
Seriously, our crew is working hard on getting the show back in shape.
OgreCave.com.
Alright, yeah, that sounded good.
Soon you'll be hearing more of our game news, discussion, and reviews.
OgreCave.com.
Keep going.
We'll try to get some cool interviews in there, too, as always.
OgreCave.com.
I think we're on to something.
Stay tuned at Ogre Cave for the Audio Report 2.0.
OgreCave.com.
Yeah. All right.
Someone clean up this mess.